Let's open our Bibles together this morning in the book of 1 John in the chapter, first of all, chapter 2, and then into chapter 3, that is 1 John, and the second chapter as we finish a few verses there, read a few verses, and then we go into chapter 3. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. We read there at verse number 25, that is 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. And as we come to meditate and study the word of God, let's just bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon that preaching of God's infallible truth this day. Heavenly Father, we gather around thy precious word, and we thank thee that we can gather today around the infallible book. We thank thee, O God, that we have a sure word today. For thy word, we are reminded, is forever settled in heaven. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone that has come to listen to thy word. And I pray that even now that thou wilt, Lord, just stir their soul, that they may grasp the great truths that are found in thy precious and infallible book. And to this end, O God, give me help. And to me, our God of self, and take away my sin, cleanse it in the precious blood. And Lord, make me clean, and help me this day to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that thy word reminds us, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, do that even this morning. May souls be drawn to Christ and souls be saved. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Now, we have looked at the opening verse of this third chapter of the book of 1 John. And we were reminded, it says, behold, we were stopped there. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then we come to the second verse, and that's where we want to dwell this morning. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you'll notice as this second verse comes, the apostle launches out into this great verse with one of his favorite terms of endearment. It is that word, beloved. And he loved to describe the saints of God in this fashion. In chapter 3, in verse number 21, it says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. In chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Verse number 7 of chapter 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Verse number 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And there we have the term used. It is the term beloved. Now, there's another word that is linked with that, that John uses as well. And you'll find that several times it is mentioned in it. And it is that term of, he called not only saints beloved, but he called them with that little endearment phrase, little children. Little children. If you look there in chapter 2, in verse number 1, "My little children." In verse number 12 of chapter 2, "I write unto you, little children." Verse 28, "Now, little children." Chapter 3, in verse number 7, "little children." In verse number 18, "My little children." In chapter 4, in verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children." In chapter 5, in verse number 21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idle." Amen. And so we have this term that is used, and they're linked together. It's the term beloved, and it is the term little children. In actual fact, you'll notice that term little children is only used by John. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. None of the other writers use it. It is simply a term that is unique to John's writing and isn't used by any other New Testament writer. Now, the word there is beloved, beloved, or dear ones, or very much loved ones. Now, of course, this term is linked to believers. He's talking to those who are little children, those who are in the Lord. And that reflects their covenant union with God and being a part of that family union with each other. Because children are in a family. And, of course, beloved indeed. Beloved. Now, of course, we could ask ourselves the question, beloved by whom or of whom? Beloved. Now, of course, whenever John is speaking, he talks about my little children. So, therefore, he loves them. He loves them. Whether he was the one that led them to the Lord, I do not know. But he looked upon them as my little children. And so we find that they were loved or beloved of John. Of course, you remember that John was known as the beloved disciple. He was the beloved disciple, the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. We also remember this, that there's a great change come into John's life. Because remember, as a young man, John, in his love for the Lord, he was full of zeal. He was full of zeal. He wanted, in actual fact, there was a moment when he wanted to destroy those who didn't feel as he did. And he was known, he and his brother were known as the sons of thunder. And so therefore, that certainly wasn't a very endearing term, but it certainly was the reality that John was a person who was he was so full of zeal. And he wanted God to bring judgment down upon the heads of those that just didn't see the things that as he saw it. But now, as the years have gone past, and John is coming to the latter part of his life, he's coming near the end of the journey, and we find that indeed in his life, his heart has been close to the Lord. He has been walking with God, friend. You know what the Lord has done? The Lord has sweetened his life. He's sweetened his life. And instead of being seen as the son of thunder, we find him here speaking about my little children. Or talking about my beloved or beloved ones. In other words, what we find is this. He has caught the Spirit of Christ. He has caught the Spirit of Christ. And as you walk with the Lord, friend, and as you dwell in the Scriptures and you read about our Savior, surely you get the Spirit of Christ. And indeed, you will become not stern in a way that will be disruptive, but in actual fact, yes, you will be firm. Firm in the things of God, but you will have a love. You will speak the truth, as the Bible says, speak the truth in love.
There has to be that spirit of love. And so we find here that this is the term that is used is beloved. Beloved. In other words, we are recipients of God's love. Recipients of God's love. And therefore we ought to have a measure of love in our hearts. Because if we, like John, have caught the spirit of Christ, the Bible says, for God is love. And you'll find that in John's writing, he emphasizes this truth about love. The love of the family and in the family of God. We love him. Yes, that's true. We love him. We love the Lord. But friend, if that is true, and it ought to be, if you're saved today, you love the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord and you love him with all of your heart. But there's something that follows on from that. That if you love the Lord, that love of God will be manifested. The Bible tells us the love of God has been manifested in our hearts. And because the love of God is manifested in our hearts, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then that impacts upon those that we meet. Turn to John's Gospel just for a moment. Keep your hand there. We'll be back in a second. But in John's Gospel chapter 13, John's Gospel chapter 13, and in verse number 34, it says this: "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Notice that. Notice the kind of heart that God's people ought to have in the family of God. In the family of God. Notice how it is put here. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." We were reading in the prayer meeting on Thursday night about how that we're saying, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us." And we're asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. But here it says, the Lord Jesus giving a commandment here. Now, it's not a suggestion. He says, "I give you this new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." There's the manifestation of the love of Christ. And it's a love of Christ in the family of the Lord. And God's people, you know, you might say to me, "Well, you see that brother, he's not very lovable." But my friend, let me tell you, whether you think he's lovable or not, or she is lovable in the natural sense, I can tell you there is a commandment that God has given you and given me. And if we say we love Jesus Christ, then he says, listen, "that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Verse 35, "by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another." Tell me this. What does it tell the world of God's people are sniping at each other? What does that tell the world? As the world looks on, as God's people are trying to down another brother or sister in Jesus Christ. Tell me, what is that saying to the world? The world is looking on. And the world is watching. It says there in verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, friend, let the Holy Spirit search every one of our hearts today and ask this question to ourselves. Am I there? Am I fulfilling this command of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the world see Jesus in me? Because that's what the Word of God says. And not only there, chapter 15 of John's Gospel. Chapter 15, in the verse number 12, it says this: "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." There's emphasized again. He's linking the love in the family of God with the love that he has for us. What a love. What a love. "As I have loved you, greater love hath no man in this than a man lay down his life for his friend." Verse number 17. "These things I command you." Notice again, command. Not a suggestion, it's a command. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And then you turn to 1 John. This book, 1 John that we're in. 1 John chapter 3, once again. Verse number 14. it says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If there is not love in our hearts for the family of God, friend, listen, it says, this is how the witness of the Spirit, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we're changed. We know that there's a work of God in our hearts, that we're really saved and born again of the Spirit of God because we love the brethren. Listen, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You haven't life. You're abiding in death. You're still dead. You can profess life. That's different. You might profess it, but let me tell you, the Bible says this. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Look at verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, I tell you, that's strong terms. But I didn't write it. That's the Holy Ghost. He that loveth or he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abideth in him. Go down to verse number 20. For if our hearts condemn us, verse 20, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and God knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. That's a strong term, too. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now the question is this. Where do we stand according to God's word here? Where do we really stand? Have we life? Eternal in Christ? Because if we cannot look at our brother and we hate him, or we walk past our brother and we just disdain him as if he doesn't exist, or our sister, is there life in us? There may be profession, but is there life eternal? That's what the Word of God says. Now, friend, the term is beloved. 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 We ought to have the marks of a believer because the world is watching on. And therefore, that's the term. Notice the time. Let's go back to our verse now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. There's the time. What that means it is, it's our present position. It is our present status. It is our present privilege. We are the children of God now. Not that we expect to be someday. But we are now. We are. Not just an eternity. But we realize that we are now. And whenever you realize that now I am a child of God, I am in the family of God, friend, let me tell you, that truth sinking into my heart and into your heart, it ought to transform our thinking. Because as you and I say, I'm a child of God, friend, that ought to impact upon our daily lives. In other words, I must conduct myself properly, because I'm a child of God. I must conduct myself. I cannot just shoot my mouth off and say whatever I like and hurt or wound somebody else. I just can't do it. I can't live the way I just want to live. Friend, let me tell you, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ who's living in me. I've turned the reins of my life over to Christ. Whenever I've received Jesus Christ, I've acknowledged that I'm a sinner. I want to be a saint. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when I'm in His family, let me tell you, there are rules for the family. I just can't claim to be in the family without realizing that there are rules for the family that you and I must live by. And the rules are not set down by the denomination or a church. They're set down by the Lord. We read some of them a few moments ago about beloved. We ought to have a loving spirit. Have we a hard attitude? Just that old accusing attitude, never satisfied. But when I realize now am I the Son of God. You've heard me talk about the young girl who professed faith in Christ, and she went out with a young lad, and the young lad brought her to a certain place. The young girl realized she ought not to be there. And whenever she was there in the place, and the young man was wanting to see, she said, "Listen, John, take me out. I've got to go home. Some of her friends were looking at her. They realized that she was uncomfortable and looked at her. And one of them said to her, "I suppose you're afraid of hurting your father, you're afraid of your father hurting you if he found out that you were here." Young girl with tears running down her eyes turned to her boyfriend and she said, "John, I'm not afraid of my father hurting me. I'm afraid of hurting him." Friend, let me ask you this. By having things your way, by doing it your way, by boasting yourself up and saying, "Well, listen, didn't I do it my way? Didn't I put them in their place?" Was the Lord honored? Or you? Tell me, who got the glory? Was God glorified in what you did and what you said? You see, friend, it counts. It says, "Listen, beloved, now are we, right now, I'm in the family of God. And because I'm in the family of God," it says, "let your light so shine before men." That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And here's the question. The things that we did last week, was the Lord glorified? Did He get the glory? As others looked upon us, did it glorify our Father which is in heaven? Because that's what our desire ought to be. Because now are we sons of God. Now. Right now. And so today, I've got to realize, I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, friend, as a child of God, that shapes my life, my actions. That shapes the way that I ought to be. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 it says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." In other words, God's been looking on this week. He's been looking on. It's not only as others have seen you, but God's looking too, because you see, you're in the family. Are you in the family today? Notice the tribe here. We've talked about the term and the time. Now look at the tribe. Notice, now are we, the sons of God. Who's he talking about? Well, you notice John includes himself. He talks, now are we. He's including himself, and he's happy to include himself. John unites himself with his readers. Those who are the born ones, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, now are we. John writing in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, he said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm of their hands. Who is the we? The family of God. The family of God. We used to sing a wee hymn in the church years ago, we're part of a family that's been born again. We're not isolated, friend. We're not just living in little islands doing our own thing. We're a part of the we, the tribe of God. The Jews, they used to glory in their tribes. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. I'm the tribe of Levi. I am the tribe of Judah. I am the tribe. And they would glory in their tribes. But friend, we're in the family. The family of God. And we're all in the same family. Now in a family, there are those who have got different jobs and positions and responsibilities. But they're all in the family, equally. Sometimes we laugh together and sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of what it will be when we all get to heaven. Oh, I think about that. We all get to heaven, God's family. I see somebody rushing into a wee corner and saying, listen, he's not getting near me. She's not getting near my... Let me tell you, friend. There'll be nothing of that. We'll all be one family. The family of God. And when you're in the family, friend, you have responsibilities. Oh, we talk about rights today. Everybody seems to talk about my rights, my rights, my rights. You know what they don't talk about? My responsibilities. But friend, you have a right to be called the child of God. But that brings its responsibility. Beloved, there we have the term. Now, there we have the time. Are we? There we have the tribe. The sons of God, there we have the title. The sons of God. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But when you come to verse number 2, it's not that we should be called the sons of God. It says, now are we the sons of God? Now are we the sons of God? Our sonship. And whenever we talk about sonship, I'm talking about the family, the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Sisters, whenever the Holy Spirit talks about now are we sons of God, it's not that you're left out. It's an all-embracing term. For the family of God. Now are we in the family of God? I ask the question, how do you get into the family? John chapter 1 and verse 12. As many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You get in the family of God, friend, through faith in Christ alone. There's only one way in. There's only one way into the family of God, and that is by faith. And through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And if you're not saved this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, you are not in the family of God, as we'll see. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse number 4 it says this. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There's your position. There's what it means to be a son of God, friend. A child of God. You're no longer a servant. You are a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Then I'll go back to the book of Romans chapter 8. And whilst we often read the last verses of Romans chapter 8, don't forget the rest of the chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14 it says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sons of God means children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Sons of God. But notice this word, adoption. It's been mentioned there in Galatians 4. It's mentioned here. It tells us in this that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, adoption is a term that implies the act of transfer from one family into another. And that means that once we were in another family, now are we the sons of God. Notice that. Now are we. But we weren't always. What were we? If we weren't always sons, well, then what were we? Well, friend, the Bible tells us, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, You hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Verse number 3, Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Now there's it. We were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. Verse number 2 of chapter 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in our past we were children of disobedience. In our past we were children of wrath. You say, that's serious. So it is. So it is. But then turn back to John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 44. You know, some people say that they will not look up their family tree. And the reason why they won't look up their family tree is because they're afraid of what they'll find in it. person said one day, don't look up your family tree because there used to be sheep rustlers in your family tree. Away on in Scotland before they ever came to Northern Ireland. Well, just look up, if you want, look up your family tree. You might find some disreputable characters in your family tree. And you say, well, listen, I didn't know he belonged to me, and I'll forget he did. Well, the Word of God says, here's your past. You were children of wrath. The Word of God says ye were children of disobedience. Look at John's chapter 8 and verse number 4. Ye are of your father the devil. Boy, it's getting worse. Not a bit of wonder you're children of wrath. Not a wonder you're wonder children of disobedience. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar, and the father of it. Tell me, who said that? Who said you're of your father the devil? The Lord Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus who was speaking here. And then turn to 1 John, the book that we're in 1 John chapter 3. In verse number 10, it says this, in this the children of God are manifested, or manifest, and the children of the devil. There's two families here. There's the children of God, and there's the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The Bible tells us that's our background. But thank God, now are we. Now. We've got a new title. We've got a new status. How did we get in? The spirit of adoption. Thank God we've been adopted. See, the old modernists have a teaching, a doctrine today that God's the father of all men. And therefore all children of God. Friend, that's not true. He is the creator of all men. He is the creator. And he doeth good unto all men. And the rain falls on the unjust as well as the just. And in him we live and move and have our being. But when it comes to the term father and son and brother, that's family term. That's the family of God. That's why I say that so often people say what they term as the Lord's Prayer. In actual fact, it's not. It's the disciples' prayer. The opening words is, our Father. I asked you before God, friend, is he? Is he your father? Are you his child? Are you in the family of God today? Are you born again with the Spirit of God? My earnest prayer is that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this service this morning would come to a personal faith and love in Jesus Christ and knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they might be able to say, yes, he is my Father, and I'm his child, praise his name. I'm a child of God. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. Because you see, that term father and that term son is an intimate term. It's a term of affection. And that's why the Word of God says that when the spirit of adoption is wrought in our hearts, then we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Let me say something else, just because the modernists have got another thing wrong. The modernists teach us today that we being sons of God, then we're just as Christ is. He's the Son of God and we're sons of God. Let me tell you, my friend, Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We are adopted sons. That's the difference. Notice in the most of the modern versions, they've knocked that word begotten out. They say, the one and only Son of God, or the Son of God. His sonship is eternal. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. It had no beginning. He is equal with the Father in power and glory. We are made sons, God's sons, in God's appointed time. Brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Our sonship is due to the change in our status. Once we're in the family of Satan. Under wrath, condemned. But now are we the sons of God. And that word there, Abba, Father, is a deep, intimate, childlike term. Some of the translators say that Abba means Papa. Let me tell you, my friend, what it does mean is this. It's a term of respect for who God is. For He is the God of eternity. Oh, today that God would bring back that respect among the people of God for their heavenly Father. There's a deep, affectionate relationship with God. I'm a son of God, a child of the King. I don't have a slavish fear of God. My Father. But I have a peaceful, happy affection for God as my Father. And that love has been stirred up within me. That family affection. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Time's away this morning. Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Are you in the family? And friend, have you the family marks? Have you the Savior's traits, characteristics? Do you love the brethren, the sisters, the family of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. We thank thee and we praise thee for the greatest family that one could ever be a part of, the family of God. We pray that you'll help us to show forth our relationship with thee to the world, that they might see, that they might know that we are thy children. We pray for any today that are not saved. Oh God, save them. For time, for eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.